That I'd like to discuss is the Vilna Gaon. Hagon Rabbi Eliyahu Mivilna, better known as the Gro, was one of the great Torah personalities of the last few generations, and he lived in the 1700s. He was born on Chol HaMoed Pesach in 1720. I'm sorry, I think it was the first day of Pesach, and he passed away on Chol HaMoed Sukkis in 1797. So he was 77 years old, which at the time was a pretty ripe old age, and that was the That's the basic history of the Vilna Gaon, just in terms of the years that he lived. But there's a lot to say about him. One of his most prominent Talmidim, one of his most prominent disciples, was Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who said about him, based on a Medrash in Vayikra, that very often when you have a Eshkol Shel Anavim, he says, when you have a vineyard that is full, that is laden with grapes, so he says it is so heavy from all the grapes that it carries that it is so much closer to the ground. It cannot stand up strong, cannot stand up high. And that, said Reb Chaim Volozhiner, was his great Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon. His greatness made him the most humble person. He was so much greater than anybody else, and therefore he was so close to the ground and so understated. He was so simple, yet such a great giant, such an incredible person. So even the contemporaries of the Vilna Gaon, it's not that only after his death we heard a lot about him. The contemporaries of the Vilna Gaon held him in such high regard. They had such respect and incredible adulation for him. And I'd just like to read for you a little bit about what some of his contemporaries wrote. So one of the contemporaries of the Vilna Gaon was the Bala Tanya. And it's funny to say that they were contemporaries because the Vilna Gaon was very opposed to the Bala Tanya and to all the Hasidim who were alive at his time. So the Vilna Gaon's contemporary, the Bala Tanya, writes about him. Ein b'medinas lita mi sheyarim libo. There is no one who would ever raise their voice. Shelo levatol daita mepnei das hagon hachasid. There is no one who would be so arrogant as not to submit themselves to the Vilna Gaon. Kimefursam l'rabim sheyachid bedorahu. And he says, as we all know, the Vilna Gaon is a yachid bedorah. There is no one else who comes close to him. And the Vilna Gaon is one who is in a league of his own. And in fact, the Chazon Ish obviously didn't live in that time. The Chazon Ish lived more contemporary times. The Chazon Ish writes as well. Anu mityachasim, he says, our relationship, the way we view the life of the Vilna Gaon is b'shura shel Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the Lashon of the Chazon Ish. He says, we look at the Vilna Gaon like he's on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he says, later on in history, it became Moshe Rabbeinu and Ezra and Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Ravashi, HaRambam, and then the Vilna Gaon. Like, that's the trajectory of the Jewish people. It went from Moshe Rabbeinu to Ezra HaSofer. It traveled to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, to Ravashi, to the Rambam, and then it was handed off to the Vilna Gaon. And you see that the perspective that we have about the life of the Vilna Gaon is one which we don't have about many other great individuals throughout history. The Vilna Gaon was obviously someone who was incredibly special. Says the Chazon Ish, why is it that we look at him as such? Shenizgala hatora al yado kekadosh hamu'uta lekach. He says, because the Vilna Gaon had this ability to reveal, to uncover so many secrets of Torah. Shehir b'mashalo huer ad sheba, because he was able to enlighten us about so many aspects of Torah that until his time, nobody else had the ability to do. V'nam el chalkov hu nechshav ke'echad min harishonim. He said, we view him as one of the gedolei harishonim. And therefore, he says, v'lakach cholek aleihem b'kama mekomos b'tokef ve'oz. He says, sometimes you look through the writings of the Vilna Gaon, and with such confidence, with such a brazenness, he'll take on any of the rishonim, and it seems a little bit strange to us. Why is he not afraid to argue with the Rishonim? And the reason why, says the Chazon Ish, is because we consider him to be ke'echad min Rishonim. V'gam al harif v'harambam hu cholik. Not only did he take on the more minority Rishonim, but he takes on the Rambam sometimes. He feels that the Rambam is incorrect, and he has no problem. He's quite comfortable voicing his disagreement. Madrigasa b'ruach HaKodesh, and he says the incredible level of Ruach HaKodesh, of divine inspiration that he had. B'chasiduso Uvegodol tvunaso, his depth of understanding in every area of life. Uvigiaso bibikiuso, his work, his toil that he worked on to master every area of life. Be'iun ha'omek b'chala Torah hamatsuya ata bi'adenu i'efshar klal letzayir es efshar rusam. It is impossible to quantify and to understand how deep the understanding and the intellect and the depth of meaning that the Vilna Gaon put into every word of Torah. V'lo yitachen klal letmo, he said, is completely unjustified to question Lama Yachlok al Shulchan Aruch. He says every once in a while the Vilna Gaon disagreed with the Shulchan Aruch, and you'll wonder, how does he disagree with the Shulchan Aruch? And the answer is, because he's the Vilna Gaon. Because he's the Vilna Gaon. And that, says the Chazon Ish, is not something that should trouble anyone, because the Vilna Gaon was Bishura HaElyona, he says he was on a different level than everyone else. He was completely living in a different league. And this should not question our incredible feelings of what the Vilna Gaon is all about and his integrity, because he has every right, says the Chazon Ish, to argue with the Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and all the Rishonim, because, in my opinion, says the Chazon Ish, he was as great as them all. And he has that ability. The Chai Adam, who actually was in some way a Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon, I don't think he was a direct Mechutin, but he called himself the Mechutin. I guess anyone who was slightly related to the Vilna Gaon claimed that they were related to him, but the Chai Adam really had some kind of relationship with him, and he says the following. He gives a description of what he felt it was to live in the same time, the same generation as the Vilna Gaon. So he writes, Zachinu liros be'einenu, we have the incredible gift, the merit, to see with our own eyes. Marna v'rabinu hagon Yisrael v'kadosh rab Eliyahu ha-chassid. Hu haya ir v'kadosh ke'echad min ha-rishonim. Says the Chai Adam, I too believe that he was like one of the Rishonim. V'chal mido sheshanu chachamim etamad chacham. And everything that the Chacham taught us about the virtues of a Talmud Chacham and what that's supposed to encompass, Nira v'nigla lakol shahayabo, it was apparent and obvious to anyone that met him that he had all of those, and he mastered every area. Bein b'Torah, bein b'yira, bein b'hanagasa, whether it was the amount of Torah that he amassed in his life, whether it was his yira shamayim, whether it was the way he acted, the way he led his life. B'kiyusa b'chal ha'shas bavli v'yirushalmi, the Vilna Gaon's understanding and depth in all of the Gemara, Bavli, and Yerushalmi, Sifra, Sifri, Mechilta, V'Tosefta, V'Chal Medrashim Hayo Arucha B'Fiv. He says everything was at his fingertips. All the Medrashim, all the Sifri, things that most of us probably have never even looked at. But the Vilna Gaon had this all on his fingertips. V'Yosem Mizeh, not only that, he writes, he had an understanding in everything. And then he writes further, not only did he have an understanding in the Torah that we know, but he says he had in Metoras HaNistar as well. The Vilna Gaon had an understanding in Kabbalah and Torah Sanister, and this was something that was so obvious when you met him. And furthermore, says the Chai Adam, Kedushasa uprishusa yadua lakol, his sanctity, his holiness, his incredible degrees of Kedusha were ones that were a sight to behold as well. And he says, he finally ends off his paragraph in his description, and he says, Ashrei ayin ra'as akaleila, how blessed I was to have had the opportunity and the experience to watch and to see what it was to be the Vilna Gaon. And he writes that I couldn't fully comprehend and understand everything that went on in the life of the Vilna Gaon, but Ashrei ayin ra'as akaleila. How blessed I am that I had the opportunity to see what the life of the Vilna Gaon was all about. So the Vilna Gaon was obviously a towering figure in our history. And it's worth it to spend a little bit of time just thinking about his lifetime and some of the teachings that he taught us. So they say about the Vilna Gaon, just for starters, that he was mistapik b'muat. He was so careful about how much he ate every day. Now, what does that mean? Some of us are careful about our diets, but the Vilna Gaon was a little bit more careful than I think most of us. And it is documented that the Vilna Gaon used to eat every day just a piece of bread that was the size of two olives, soaked in water, and it says that that's what he ate in the morning, and then once again in the evening, that's what he ate, and that was what sustained him for the entire day. Then we're told also that the Vilna Gaon was so careful, he didn't want to have any enjoyment, he didn't want to have any pleasure from this world, and therefore he chose just to swallow it whole. He didn't want to chew it, because this way he would have less pleasure. Now again, that doesn't teach us that that's the way we should be living life, it just gives us a picture that this was the life of the Vilna Gaon. I just had the opportunity to spend 2 weeks with an amazing group of people in Camp Simcha, the camp for children who are battling the illness of cancer. And it was an amazing experience. And one of the things that amazed me was many of the girls who are there as counselors are very inspired and very excited about Judaism and asking all kinds of questions over the last 2 weeks. And it came up over the summer that many of them are reading incredible biographies and trying to implement some of the stories into their own lives. And I, for one, was very opposed to that. I think one needs to know where they are, know the community that they live in, and understand that we need to set goals that are attainable for us. So when we read about the Vilna Gaon and we hear stories that he only ate a little kazayas of bread every day and he just used to swallow it and he didn't even chew it in order that he shouldn't have anah, it doesn't mean that that's something that we should take home with us and decide to do for ourselves. We are not the Vilna Gaon, and this is not something that is relevant for the lives of most of us, I would imagine, but at the same time, it's something to just understand the picture, the complete picture of what the Vilna Gaon was all about. It is documented as well by the students of the Vilna Gaon that he was so careful about every moment of time in every single day, and he never wasted time. And what that means is the following. They write about the Vilna Gaon and how careful he was about every moment, that every time he felt that he wasted a minute, he made a dot on a piece of paper. And at the end of the year, it says that in Rosh Chodesh Elul, when he was trying to do tshuva, he would take out that paper. Now, if I had to make a dot for every minute that I wasted, I think I would have many, many notebooks that I would have to worry about at the end of the year. But the Vilna Gaon somehow fitted onto one small piece of paper. And it says that at the very end of the year, when he was doing tshuva before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he would sit there and he would cry over this piece of paper, and his tears would somehow wipe away all of the dots that were on the piece of paper. So how many dots were on there at the end of an entire year? How many did he accumulate? So the Sholem Eishev said about the Vilna Gaon that it was about, how many he accumulated in a year was about 2 to 3 hours. So that was the life of the Vilna Gaon. That in a year he only wasted, in his mind, about 2 to 3 hours. Now what does wasted time mean for him? Well, the Vilna Gaon writes about himself, I think, that one time his sister came to visit him, who he hadn't seen in 20 years, and he felt that he spent an extra minute that he shouldn't have spent because he should have been doing something different, and he spent the requisite amount of time that was necessary to be nice and respectful to her, so a dot was given for that. So that's the waste of time in the life of the Vilna Gaon. And I would dare say that it's something to think about, that the amount of time that at least I waste, unfortunately, on, you know, the things I don't have to read and the things I don't have to be busy with, but yet some of us get busy with such things. Just to think about how the Vilna Gaon was so careful about every moment of his time is something that should inspire all of us. So Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, who was also a very close disciple of the Vilna Gaon, also talks about the mastery of Torah that the Vilna Gaon had. So we all know the Vilna Gaon, as we said before, was considered like one of the Rishonim, the Chazon Ish said, and he had the ability to argue and even stand up firmly against the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and the Rif, and he had very great confidence in doing so. But what exactly was his mastery of Torah? So we have a description that Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov writes, and he says that this is something that the Vilna Gaon himself actually said when they once celebrated a siyum. I don't know exactly what the occasion was, but somebody made a siyum and the Vilna Gaon got up to speak. And he got up to speak about his feelings toward Talmud Torah. And the Vilna Gaon shared the following, and this is documented in the Sefer Pa'as HaShulchan. So he writes the following. Kala Torah kula shenitna b'Sinai yada l'tachlisa. The Vilna Gaon said, all of Torah that was given at Har Sinai, he knew to the max. That's what he said about himself at this siyum that the Talmidim had. V'chal ha-Neviim v'ha-Ksuvim v'ha-Mishnayis v'ha-Torah shebal peh heich genuzim b'ha-Tanach. Not only did he know the entirety of Torah, but he also figured out how to find a reference to every part of Torah shebal peh back in the Torah itself, which is just another league of understanding. There's one thing to learn all the Gemaras, to learn all the Mishnayis, and to understand them and know them well. It's another thing to be able to reference it all back and say, this is where it all comes from. Not everyone has the ability to do that, and certainly not for every area of Torah Shebaal Peh, but yet the Vilna Gaon had the ability to do that. Lo nishalo sum safek be'eza halacha v'sugya b'chal ha-Torah le'eza k'nuso. The Vilna Gaon said that by the time he got old, there was not a single halacha that he didn't understand, that didn't have a clear tfisa of. Rak shnei dvarim chamurim b'sisrei ha-Torah shebazar ha-yamukshim atzlo. He told his Talmidim there were two areas in Sisrei Torah in Kabbalah that he just could not understand. Outside of that, he felt he was confident that he understood everything. V'amar lefanav ayim mekomam, and he told us as his students where those places were and what it was that he didn't understand about them. Hayaholech elav, and he said, ilu hayu yodea misha yodam, had the Vilna Gaon said, had I only found out that there was someone in the world that would have been able to share an insight in explaining these two difficult passages that I don't understand, hayaholech elav beraglav, I would have walked there with my own legs. Umamtim bazeh ad mashiach tzidkenu. The Vilna Gaon said it would have been worth it for me to walk to that person, wherever they may live, and wait there, ad biach mashiach tzidkenu, forever. That's a direct quotation from the Sefer Pa'as HaShulchan. That's how much the Vilna Gaon understood the Torah, that's how much he cared about the Torah, and that's how much it meant to him, that he was willing to do anything to further understand even one aspect of Torah that he felt he had a lack of understanding in. So the Vilna Gaon had such a love, such a dedication to every aspect of Torah. And don't think that the Vilna Gaon was such a shining, towering personality because there was no one in his time that knew anything, and therefore he was just above and beyond all of them. Because in fact, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes about the Vilna Gaon that at that time, Chachameha Anshei Sham Mufla Mugdolim. He said that people of his generation were incredible Talmidei Chacham on their own. So don't think the Vilna Gaon was a towering figure because there was just a lack of any other knowledge in the neighborhood. He was somebody who lived in a generation of great people. Shalom Mashu Mitoch Ol Beis HaMedrash HaGadol Kol Hayom V'Kol HaLaila. He lived in a community where there were people who were sitting in the Beis Medrash all day and all night. Lo Yichashu L'Omad Halacha U'Poskim. They knew everything that there was to know as well. Lo Hayu Yishenu Bivateim Kol Yimos HaShavua. This was a group of people who sat in the Beis Medrash and fell asleep there and went home one day a week. Ki Yim B'Leile Shabbasas V'Yamim Tovim. Shabbos and Yantiv, they went home. Otherwise, they all sat together. Arayus Batorah, these were great giants in all areas of Torah as well. Kulam Zachu Lios Morei HaRabbi Yisrael, and therefore, he says, if the Vilna Gaon was able to shine above all of them, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it means the Vilna Gaon was an absolutely incredible figure. And not only because there was no one alive in his generation to appreciate him, but there were great people alive in his generation, and yet he was still a towering figure. He was still above all of them. So what I find interesting is that not only did the Vilna Gaon excel in oral areas of Torah study, but also his student, the Ba'as HaShulchan, writes that the Vilna Gaon seemed to have mastered so many other disciplines outside of Torah as well. So listen what the Ba'as HaShulchan writes in describing his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon. Kol HaChachamos, he says, the Vilna Gaon taught us that all the understandings of the world, all the Chachma in the world, Nitzrachim LaTorasenu HaKadosha U'Kelulimba, everything is incorporated in the Torah. Now, we've heard that said before. I haven't ever met a personality who has become such a great Talmud Chacham and yet knows all the Chachmas in the world. I can't say I've met everyone in the world, so I don't know. But there probably aren't many people who are both masters in all areas of Torah and in all areas of science and everything else. Well, listen to what the Vilna Gaon said. The Vilna Gaon said that he had such an understanding of Torah knowledge that not only did he have a complete mastery of Torah, but he also was able to understand all the other Chachmas as well. V'hizkiram, and the Vilna Gaon taught us that in the Torah you can see a reference to algebra, umushulashim, what is that? Geometry. What? Right, geometry. V'handasa, I don't know what that is. Anyone know? What?
Engineering.
V'chachmas hamuzika, the Vilna Gaon had an understanding of music. He understood the depth of music from the Torah. V'shibcha harbe, and he said, the power of music is incredible. Hu haya omer az, the Vilna Gaon told us, ki rov tami ha-Torah v'sodos shiri ha-Leviyim v'sodos tikkuni azar, I efshar leida bilada. There's no way to fully understand and appreciate music unless you really have an understanding of Torah, v'al yada, and through learning the Torah and understanding what music is all about and really knowing what it is, yecholim b'nei adam lamos bekalos napsham min imu seha. The Vilna Gaon said a person can lose their life just from the beauty and the incredible gift of understanding music. V'yecholim l'hachiyos mesim b'sodoseh ha-gnuzim ator. The Vilna Gaon said, if you understand music well enough, through the purview of Torah, the Vilna Gaon taught us that you can even have the ability to be mechaya ha-mesim. What that means, I have no idea. But that's what the Vilna Gaon taught us. Hu amar kama nigunim v'kama midos hevi Moshe Rabbeinu mehar Sinai. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu brought down a bunch of Nigunim from Har Sinai, and from there, many other understandings of music came about. But it all started at Har Sinai. And the Vilna Gaon had an understanding, a deep understanding, and a real appreciation, a profound appreciation for what it means to really have music. Then, the Vilna Gaon discussed with his Talmidim, what about medicine? So, Chachmas HaRafua Yada, he knew a little bit about medicine, but Chachmas HaNituach, he only knew how to do a surgery, but he didn't know all of the understandings of medicine. Why was that? How come he says, Aval Maisa Hasamim, the pharmaceuticals? How come he didn't know how to make medicines, make medications? Umalachtan Lamasa Ratza Lalamdem Mirofe Azman, he says that Vilna Gaon himself wanted to understand and wanted to learn how to do that as well. Vigazar alav aviv shelo yelamdenu, and the Vilna Gaon's father warned him, you better not go into medicine too deeply, because then everyone is going to need you to take care of them. And then we're not going to have the Vilna Gaon. So that was the one area of life, one area outside of Torah that he felt he didn't have a right to master, because if he got too far into it, he would be busy all day long just curing everybody, and he wouldn't be able to become the Vilna Gaon. So his father stopped him from that, but outside of that he writes that he learned philosophy, and he learned everything else that there was to know, except for, he writes, that Maseh HaSavim, which I think is botany. He didn't want to learn about plants. So he writes, because he was adinas hanefesh, he was a mefunak. He didn't want to get his hands dirty when he was getting on the ground. So therefore the Pasuk Shulchan writes that the Vilna Gaon chose to stay away from that and from medicine because his father told him to do that. One of the defining missions of the life of the Vilna Gaon was his absolute opposition to the Hasidic movement. And that was a very important fight of his in his generation. Now, I don't know that all of the fight that he made then is relevant to us today. The Hasidic movement has changed very much from what it originally was to what it is today. It's not at all the same. Some of it is the same, but many of the problems that the Vilna Gaon identified at the time are not really relevant today. But here the Vilna Gaon writes as follows. The Vilna Gaon is so strongly opposed to the Hasidic movement, and he writes as follows. Eila Elohecha Yisrael, he says, there are those who say, in our generation, and I'm seeing it, says the Vilna Gaon, Eila Elohecha Yisrael, they point to a God and they say, this is our God. Meaning, they've made rebbes, he says. And he doesn't like it, and he's opposed to it. And they've replaced God with a live human being. Kaleitz v'chaleven, they look at trees and they look at a bunch of stones, and they think that it has significance. So the Vilna Gaon says they have no understanding of what it means in the pasuk when we say Baruch Kivod Hashem Imekomo. What does he mean? What is he referencing to? Well, what he means is the following. The Baal HaTanya, as we mentioned, was one of the contemporaries of the Vilna Gaon, and the Baal HaTanya explains what the opposition of the Vilna Gaon was. You see, one of the major beliefs of the Hasidim was and is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Melech Al Haaretz Kevodo. God can be found everywhere and anywhere. What that means is, even if a person is involved and engaged in the most mundane of activities, the Ribbono Shel Olam can be found there. And the Vilna Gaon felt, how can you say such a thing? How can you say that the Ribbono Shel Olam can be found everywhere when you're doing the most mundane activities? The Vilna Gaon had a great opposition to that. And the Baal HaTanya writes, Be'ene Kevodo, and in the eyes of the Vilna Gaon, this that we believe that God can be found everywhere, and Baruch Kvod Hashem Imekomo means that his makom is everywhere, and he should be blessed because he is in every aspect, every facet of our lives. The Vilna Gaon said, "Apikursus gemura lemar." It is absolute apikursus to say, "Shehu yisbarach nimtza mamish bedvarim shvelim v'tachtonim." You're telling me the Ribbono Shel Olam can be found in my house? The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to waste his time, so to speak, to come and be involved in the most mundane of activities? How can he say such a thing? And therefore, the Vilna Gaon felt this is absolute apikursus, and this is something that is totally unacceptable. So that was one of the great oppositions of the Vilna Gaon to the movement of Hasidus, among many others. But this was something that he really took on as an incredible fight in his life to stop. He really did not want that the movement should grow. He didn't want it to flourish at all. And this was a major issue that he really defined one of his missions about in life, was to fight against this movement from growing any further. Another major aspect of the life of the Vilna Gaon was the fact that he was a tremendous proponent of and supporter of the Aliyah movement. He encouraged his Talmidim to make Aliyah and to move to Eretz Yisrael. So the Vilna Gaon was convinced that perhaps there was something that was pushing him to do that, because the Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshaya, Uverachamim Gedolim Akabtzeich, which means, and with tremendous mercy I will once again gather in all the exiles. And he said that that is Begematria Eliyahu ben Shlomo Zalman, which was his name. So he said that means that it must be something special in my generation, that we have the obligation, we have the opportunity to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And he saw that somehow referenced in this pasuk, and he felt that now is the right time to go. So the Vilna Gaon at some point in his life did actually try to go on Aliyah, at which time he wrote a letter back to his family about his feelings as he was traveling to Eretz Yisrael. Aniti hila, he says, I feel incredibly blessed. Lekel nosea la'eretz hakdosha shehakol mitzapim lerosa, because I'm traveling to the land that everybody looks forward to seeing, that everybody looks forward to experiencing. Chemdas kol Yisrael v'chemdas Hashem Yisbarach. This is the land that is the delight of the Jewish people and of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Kol elyonim v'tachtonim tshukasam alea. Everybody. Elyonim v'tachtonim means all those in the heavens and all those down on earth. Their tshuka, their yearning is to be in Eretz Yisrael. V'ani nosea be'eis hashalom baruch Hashem. And he says, now I'm going when it's a peaceful time. V'gam at yodat she'inachti yiladai shelibi homa aleihem. Look how much I left behind. All of my children are there. Back left behind in Vilna or in Europe, wherever they were. V'chol sifri ha'yikarim. I left behind all of my manuscripts, all of my writings. Everything was left behind. V'ayisi kiger be'eretz acheres v'hinachti akol. Look what I gave up. I gave up everything, but it's all worth it, because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. And this was something that he pushed so much, and he wanted his Talmidim to move to Eretz Yisrael with him. The Vilna Gaon even commented to his Talmidim as well. This is quoted in a number of Svarim that he said, the Pasuk says, in Tehillim, Vayihi b'shalim suko u'monasa b'tzion. He said, the Pasuk here puts some kind of similarity between the mitzvah of Sukkah and the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, of Tzion. So he writes that the similarity between the two is the fact that both these mitzvahs, Sukkah and Eretz Yisrael, are two of the only mitzvahs that a person can perform with their entire body. Sometimes we have a mitzvah that we do with our hands, we give tzedakah. Sometimes we have a mitzvah we do with our legs. Sometimes we have a mitzvah we do with our ears. We listen to a shir. Sometimes we speak. We talk the Brit Torah. We can do different things. We can daven. But he says, not often do we have the opportunity to perform a mitzvah with the entirety of our body. And one of those opportunities that we have is on Sukkot. We walk into the Sukkah. Our whole body is understanding and appreciating that mitzvah of being, living in the Sukkah. And secondly, he says, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael gives us the opportunity to perform a mitzvah with our entire bodies. And he says, how can I give up that opportunity? How can I give up an opportunity to be in Eretz Yisrael where I have the opportunity to be mekayim a mitzvah with my entire body every moment of life that I'm going to be there? And that's why the Vilna Gaon felt as well that this was a very important reason why he should move to Eretz Yisrael, because we have an opportunity to live there in a way that we cannot live in America. We cannot live in Chutz La'aretz. The Vilna Gaon then commented further that perhaps there's yet a second similarity between the mitzvah of Sukkah and the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and that is the following. By the mitzvah of Sukkah, we're told, Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. You have to work hard to make the Sukkah. The Sukkah cannot be made on its own. You have to make sure to construct it. And so too said the Vilna Gaon, when it comes to building Eretz Yisrael, it's something that's going to take work. It's not going to happen by itself. It's something that we need to work at. It's something that we need to invest in. And unless we do that, unless we're proactive, unless we participate, unless we invest and make sure that we are involved in building Eretz Yisrael, it will not happen, just like the Sukkah will not happen unless we are involved in the building of it. And that was an incredible focal point of the Vilna Gaon, where he taught his Talmidim that this is something we, as Talmidim, need to work on and invest in, because otherwise Eretz Yisrael will not happen. The Geula will not come. And this was something that his Talmidim actually listened to him about. If you'll notice, you go to Eretz Yisrael, and many of the Minhagim that are followed in many of the shuls are Minhagi Agra. The reason for that is because he was such an incredible figure in the time, and he really started in a very powerful movement of people moving to Eretz Yisrael at the time. So he certainly pushed and he certainly galvanized and he encouraged many of his great followers to do just that. But what's not clear is what happened to him. Why it is that the Vilna Gaon himself didn't end up there. And how come in the end of his life he seemed to be back in Vilna? What actually went wrong? So there's a big discrepancy. None of them are really clear about why exactly the Vilna Gaon's plan didn't work and why only his students ended up there and he himself did not. We have a letter that clearly indicates that he tried to go, that he was on his way, and he wanted nothing more than to be there. And it's clear from his writings that he was very excited about the possibility, but it seems that in the end of his life, it didn't really work out, and for some reason, he was stopped along the way. Let's just close. It's already almost 10 o'clock. So we'll close with the following. One of the great contemporaries of the Vilna Gaon was the Dubna Magid. And there are very beautiful letters that were written back and forth from the Dubna Magid to the Vilna Gaon and in the other direction as well, about the relationship that they shared. So the children of the Vilna Gaon wrote letters to the Dubna Magid that their father, the Vilna Gaon, was an old man, and he was just wishing that the Dubna Magid could come and share his mishalim and share his insights with the Vilna Gaon. And there are many, many stories about the different ideas that were shared between the two great personalities of the generation. So obviously they were very different. The Dubna Magid was a Magid who used to say many parables, many mishalim, and the Vilna Gaon was the Vilna Gaon, as we mentioned. But yet, they had an incredibly close relationship. So the Dubna Magid has every so often in his Svarim insights that he heard from the Vilna Gaon. So I'd like to close with just one. He says the Vilna Gaon once had a discussion with him. Vani bi Yosi bi Vilna, Eitzel Mori, when I had the opportunity to be by my great teacher, Hu Rabbeinu HaKadosh HaGona Chosed Rabbeinu Eliyahu mi Vilna, when I had the opportunity to go and spend time with the Vilna Gaon. Sha'alti es Piv Leimar, I asked the Vilna Gaon the following question. Ezo derech yavo hashefa ve'ezo ofen yashpia hatzadik mehiroso gam libnei doro. How can a person in a position of influence actually give over whatever it is that they want to their students, to their followers, to their children? So he wants to know what is the best way to do that. Heishiv li, and he responds to me the following. Mashal l'kli gadol, this is similar, this is comparable to a big vessel. Asher kelim kitanim selvivim osomi kol tzad. That you have a big vessel that's full of water or full of some kind of substance, And you have many other vessels, smaller kelim, that are all around the periphery of it. So you turn on the faucet, and you start filling up this big vat, this big cup, and you just don't turn the water off.
Once
this vessel becomes full to the top, to the max, as kol ma shetishpoch od yagia el haktanim asher etzla. If the water just keeps on going, obviously it will spill over to all those that are around it. Avokolod asher hiba atzma lo nesmala, but if the water itself has not filled up, if the vat itself is not completely full, kol shekein shelo yagia el hasmuchim kol ma'uma, it will not be able to make any impact on those that are around it. And I think this is a very powerful lesson. It's very fundamental and it's very important. Because the Vilna Gaon teaches us here that as parents or as educators or as anyone who's in a position to influence others, the only way one can do it is if they are so completely overflowing with the messages that they like to give over. We cannot fool our children. We cannot just say one thing to them and be the empty vessels that don't live by that. We want our children to be honest when they live their lives. The only way to do that is that we should be so overflowing with honesty that it should be obvious to all of them. And they should just be influenced by being in our presence. That honesty is a way of life. We want that our children should be balei derech eretz, that they should never throw a temper, that they should be people who are understanding of others. Well, they see the way that we act. And they cannot be fooled because they watch in the privacy of our own homes the way we act when nobody else is around. We cannot fool them. And the Vilna Gaon, when he was asked, what is the best way for a parent, for an educator, for anyone in a position of influence to give over their messages that they feel are most important to those that they so much want to give them over to? The Vilna Gaon said there's only one way to do that. And that is by making sure that whatever it is that is important to you, you are so overflowing in that area of life that anyone around you, anyone in your immediate vicinity is going to automatically be changed, is going to be impacted by being close with you. So that's something that I believe is a very beautiful takeaway message from the life of the Vilna Gaon. Obviously, there's so much more to say about him. Hard to encapsulate such a great and towering Torah personality in only 30 minutes. But at least it should give us some kind of appreciation of who it is that we're dealing with when we talk about the life and the times of the Vilna Gaon and what it meant to the generation, to the 1700s, and to all generations future after the Vilna Gaon, what it meant to have such a great and towering figure that lived only a few hundred years ago. He was someone that impacted so much of what we do, so much of what we learn, so much of our understanding of Torah, and so much of where the Torah's Shebaal Peh actually comes from, because he referenced so much of it back to the Psukim, back to the Tanakh, and he showed us how all of Torah is Miksha Achas. All of Torah is interconnected, interrelated, and everything can be drawn back to the source. Everything is really based on a very credible source, and everything is considered to be given with the utmost of integrity. And this is something that I think we should take away from the incredible life that was the Vilna Gaon. So, Amir Sashem.